Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. There's something there for us this morning we can look at yet. We certainly thank the Lord for the staff that he gave us this first period. It's really a miracle to me how God puts this staff together. I was asking Brother Frank, he's one of our staff coordinators, is that right? And I said, how many people do you need to gather? Does the camp need to gather? He doesn't do it all. They divide up that responsibility. But I asked, how many people do you need to gather for a summer? Right, depending on who stays over and for two periods or so on. But between 100 and 200 people, we need 100 or 200 volunteers to serve Jesus here at camp. And the Lord's been very faithful. How many years camp has been here? There's never been a summer we couldn't have camp. God has his people everywhere that are willing to give their time to serve the Lord. They find real joy in serving Jesus. Well, that's how the kingdom of God should be. Nobody gets paid for what they do here at camp. But they serve because they love the Lord, and they love to come here to seek God themselves. And so we thank God for their faithful service, and we thank God for his faithfulness in bringing them here. We often pray, Lord, help us to get hold of the right person. Get hold of the right person just at the right time. Not only that God chooses a person to come to camp, but he's got to get them here at the right time. When I come up in July, I realize God has appointed for me to be here at this time, and he has brought these people into my life. And there are other people that come to camp. They come every summer. I never see them. I don't even know them, because they usually come some other time. And so it's good to look around and say, these are the people that God has brought into my life right now. And so help me to love them, Lord, and to be a blessing to them, and to be open to receive blessing from them. Praise God. Everything is appointed by him. Now, here the Apostle Paul's talking about some workers of his, those that stood by him. And he mentions Timothy in verse 19. This is Philippians 2:19. I think Timothy was one of his favorites. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. I was writing to the church in Philippi. That I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. He said, generally speaking, people put themselves first. Their interests before everybody else. That's just natural. And even Christians, having been delivered from that natural tendency, as we ought to be. But Timothy came into some real grace. He said, most people, they seek their own. They put their own interests before that of Christ's interests. But he said, not Timothy, he's different. It's just natural for him to care for you. He's so given to God, and he's so filled with the love of Christ, that it's not hard for him. It's not a duty for him to serve you. It just comes natural. I know people like that. You just feel a genuine love coming from them, a genuine concern. My father tells me about Brother Frank Poster. And every time he tells me about Brother Frank, he was the pastor of the Ozone Park Church, East Side in Manhattan, and then Ozone Park for many years. And he was the pastor of my parents. Whenever my dad mentions Brother Frank, he says, he was such a loving man. I noticed that. I think without fail, whenever he mentions Brother Frank used to come up to you and after meeting, and he used to pat you on your chest and say, how's it in your soul? How's it in there? And he made you to feel like you were his best friend. He made everybody feel that way. But there was something very loving and natural about his way of reaching out to the people under his care. That's how God wants all of us to be. I've had other people that you kind of felt it was their duty to check up on you. Made their phone call, made another notch in the phone. Well, maybe it starts that way. But Timothy was different.
Praise God.
We have an expression that sometimes we've heard, spiritually natural and naturally spiritual. And I can't even say it. See that? Spiritually natural and naturally spiritual. God wants us to just be natural about our spirituality. It shouldn't be something strange or something bizarre, but it should be just naturally Jesus shines from our life. Just naturally we do what pleases Him. It's just natural for us to want to pursue His interests rather than our own. And then He says, you know the proof of Him. He certainly stood the test. He's been by my side through thick and thin. He didn't give up when things got tough. As a son with the Father, He served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And then I trust that I'll come also shortly. And then he talks about another worker, a very precious man named Epaphroditus. Yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus. And notice what he says about him. First of all, he says he's my brother. He's my brother. You know, here at camp, Brother Kenny, Brother Rich, Sister so-and-so. I was living up at camp one time with a salesman. He came to camp, and he came around dinner time, so we asked him to stay and eat with us. And Sister Inez was living at that time, and she introduced him. This is Sister Greetly. And he said, oh, hello, Sister. You know. He heard Sister, he thought she was a nun or something. And I guess she kind of was like one. But people don't understand that. We refer to one another as brother and sister because we acknowledge that we all belong to Jesus. We have the same Heavenly Father. We're part of the same family of God. You ought to think about that when you say, hello, brother so-and-so. You're really my brother. We're closer to one another sometimes than we are to our own natural family. There's who don't know the Lord. There's a bond there that comes by the Spirit. There's a fellowship in the Spirit that is very precious to us. And sometimes we might have disagreements. But you know, it's different when there's a disagreement in the family. And we need to realize we're family. And we need to love one another as brethren. We're admonished to do so in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit teaches us to love one another. That's what the Apostle tells us. And so Epaphroditus, first of all, he's my brother. And we need to look at one another like that. First of all, you're my brother. You're my sister. We love the same Jesus. We're serving the same Master. We want Him to be glorified. You know, that helps us to get along better and put up with one another's shortcomings a little bit better and pray for one another. And then he says, he's my companion in labor. You know, God's looking for laborers. Jesus said, pray that the Father will thrust forth laborers into His harvest field. God needs people that are willing to work for Jesus, to put their whole heart into it. God doesn't need lazy people. Brother Bowers, our pastor in Canarsie years ago, used to say, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. You ask a person that's not busy, there's a reason why they're not busy most of the time. They don't get anything done. But those busy people, they know how to get something done. They'll fit it in somehow. And I find that in church, most of the work in the church is done by a handful of people. And sometimes you're afraid to announce another work day or something because you know exactly who's going to be there and who isn't. And you don't want to overwork them. Camp is full of people that know how to really work. I think of some of these ones on the staff that stay all summer. That's something. To give their whole summer to working for Jesus. And that doesn't start just when they come up to camp. Sister Letha's working months before camp. Brother Paul's working months before camp. Brother Tom's working months before camp to get things ready, to take care of all these things, settle everything in place. Praise God. Thank God for them. God wants all of us to be workers for Him. Don't be afraid to roll up your sleeves and, and really work for Jesus. And Paul appreciated that. He needed workers. And so he's my brother, he's my companion in labor, and then he says he's my fellow soldier. Praise God. We talked about Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. We're in a fight. We're in a real battle. And God needs soldiers. In the book of Timothy, the Apostle Paul talks about a soldier. He says, when you're called to go into the service, you come under the discipline of those that are above you. You come under a strict training so that you might be able to please him who has called you to be a soldier. You think of some of these soldiers in David's army. They live to glorify David, to honor and exalt the name of David. I love that story where David was near the town of Bethlehem, where he grew up. The Bible doesn't say that he had no water, that they were starving or dying of thirst. But David was just sort of reminiscing a little bit, and he said, oh, I'd love a drink of water from that well in Bethlehem. Maybe he went on to say, I used to drink there as a boy. There's no water like that water. And without David realizing it, three of his men went down into Bethlehem where the enemy was camped, and they risked their lives to get some water for David. They brought that water back to him. When David saw what they had done, he poured that water out onto the ground as an offering to God. Nobody deserves such loyalty and devotion. That belongs to God, not me. David wouldn't receive it. But somebody said, if those men were willing to lay down their lives and risk their lives to satisfy the smallest desire of their King David, a natural king, how much more should we be willing to give everything to please Jesus? His smallest desire, it should be our joy to give everything to satisfy. These men risk their lives to satisfy the desire of their king. And here he talks about Epaphroditus. He's a fellow soldier. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, where they talk about, I'd have to look that up again, speaks about men that have hazarded their lives for the sake of the gospel. And then he goes on and he says, he's my fellow soldier, and he's your messenger, and the one that ministered to my needs. You couldn't come to help me, so you sent him, and he's been such a blessing to me. He's ministered to my needs, and I have everything I need now. And then he said, he got sick while he was with me, nigh unto death, it says. And he found out that you heard that he was sick, and he was troubled over the fact that you were worried about him or concerned about him. Such selflessness you see in that man. He was in heaviness. He longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye heard he had been sick. And indeed, he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye shall receive him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service to me. He almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you couldn't give me. He worked overtime to be the blessing that the Apostle Paul needed him to be. And so, my brother in Christ, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier, praise God. That's the type of workers that Jesus is looking for. And we ought to pray, Lord, make me like that. And Fill me with the interest of your kingdom. Help me to be like David's soldiers. They didn't live to make a name for themselves. Their whole life was devoted to making a name for David in the world. They wanted the whole world to know what a great King David was, what a great kingdom he had. And Jesus is our David, and we're here for the same purpose. And you can do that on your job, you can do that in your home, you can do that in your school. Live to serve and glorify Jesus Christ. And get back to last night. No retreat, no reserve, and no regret. Praise God. So let's ask the Lord to help us to continue to serve Him more and more. We can grow in our service. We can grow in our usefulness. God wants us to develop along those lines. He wants to cut off some of the rough edges that hinder us from being the blessing that God would have us to be. And He wants to refine us and take our lives and mold them in such a way that we can be fitted for His service. Hallelujah. And that's the highest call, to serve the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing another song and then we'll be dismissed. I like the song, Grace is Flowing from Calvary. Let's see if we have it in here. Oh, this is the one. Okay, number 32. I'm sorry, 32. Grace, there is my every debt to pay. Praise God. Blood to wash my every sin away, and power to keep me sinless day by day. Praise God. All that we need, Jesus has provided, that we might be all that He has called us to be. Number 32.
Savior, hear me well before Thy feet. Hark, the record of my sins reveal. Stained with guilt myself upon Thee. Filled with grief my soul upbraiding. Canst Thou still in mercy think of me? Shackles free, raise my sinful heart and bid me be Thy child once more. Grace, there is my every thought to pay, blood to wash my every sin away.
As Thou art the dust, we see.
God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all.